B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Dav Zayin. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Vav Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Tzodin esho ishois v'esho achborim. If somebody needs to trap because these creatures we're about to mention are causing damage to the fields, an ishois, which maybe is a mole, an achborim, which maybe is what we call mice, Mistei Ilon u'mistei Halovon, both from a field with trees or from a field with grain, Kedarkoi, he can do it in a normal fashion. He doesn't need to do it in an unusual way because the damages are enough to allow us lekatchila to do these things. B'moyed, also on Chol HaMoed, u'b'shvias, and also on Shvias, even though he's fixing his field by getting rid of these damaging creatures, but nonetheless, he's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed and on Shmita. The Chachomim argue and say, Misteho Ilon, from a field where there's trees, then Kedarkoi, he's allowed to trap these animals in a regular, usual way, because the damages are very great, and therefore, he's allowed to do it without having to deviate from the normal way at all. Or Misteha Lovon, however, from a field with grain, there the damages are somewhat less, and therefore, even though one is allowed to trap these animals, shaloi kedarkoi, he should do it in an unusual way, in a way that's different from the way he would do it on a regular weekday. Continues the Mishnah with another halacha, umakrin esapirtza b'moyed. If somebody has a fence around his gina, around a garden where things are growing, it's not a regular courtyard, which is called a chotza. We're talking about a gina, the Gemara is going to explain, and in the wall around the gina, if there's a breach in that fence, in that wall, then you're not allowed to in a regular way fix the wall, but in an unusual way on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to fix the breach in the wall. To build a wall, l'katchila, that you wouldn't be allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Another halacha says the Mishnah, u'bishvius, regarding the Shmita year, boine kedarkoi, he's even allowed to build an original wall, not a wall that's got breached and broken, but he's allowed to build a wall and he's even allowed to do it kedarkoi in a very usual manner. And the chiddush is that even though it looks like he's guarding the fruits of and the crops inside the field, but since he's doing it to protect the field, therefore he's allowed to do it, and obviously he has to make sure to keep to all the halachas of allowing the everybody to come and take from the field. Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my ishois. We mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah that one is allowed to trap an ishois creature on Chol HaMoed or on Shmita because it's ruining the trees in the field, or ruining the crops. So what is this ishois? Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it's a beria she'ein lo inayim. It's some creature that doesn't have any eyes. Omer Rav Bar Yishmoel, v'itayim Rav Yehuda Bar Shlamya. My crop, what would be your source that this animal referred to as ishois cannot see? So we bring proof from a posuk in Tehillim. The posuk says, k'moy shablul temes Yahaloich, in the same way as possibly a snail that just melts away as it slithers away, then so too Nefel Ashes Bal Chozu Shemesh, this Ashes also just falls and dies because Bal Chozu Shemesh, because it doesn't see the sun, it can't see. So you see here that the Ashes is a creature that does not see. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon, Tzodin Eso Ishois Veso Achborim. Misteya lovon umisteo ilon kedarkoi. This was similar to the Tanakama in our Mishnah, but the Braisa continues, umachrivin choyre nemolim. If you have ants that are causing damage, you're allowed to destroy the holes of the ants. Ketzad machrivin. How do you destroy these holes? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, mevi ofor michuruze, v'noisen netoy choyruze. You take the earth, possibly with some ants, from one colony of ants, from one hole of ants, and you bring the earth, possibly with some ants, to the other hole, v'hin choynkin ze'ze, since the ants of this hole do not recognize the earth of the other hole, then they get all confused, and they end up strangling each other, and that's how you get rid of the ants. Omer Rav Yemer Bar Shlamya Mishmei D'Abaya, or said in the name of Abaya, that this will only work if the ants in one hole don't recognize the earth of the other hole. But why should an ant recognize a neighboring ant's holes? So says Abaye, who de koi betray avradan nara. First of all, it's got to be that the two holes, which, so to speak, the ants of one are going to strangle the other, or the earth of one hole is going to make the ants of the other hole strangle each other. But it's got to be on two different sides of a river. V'hu deleka gishra. It's got to be that there's no bridge between one side of the river and the other side of the river. And not only a regular bridge, v'hu deleka gamlo. Even a type of, a very narrow type of bridge, which is just a board going over the river, even that you haven't got. V'hu deleka mitzra. Not only that, but even a type of a bridge which is even narrower than that, a type of bridge that you need ropes on either side to hold on to in order to cross it. And even that mustn't be. And also, ad kamo ad parasol, it's got to be that there's at least a distance of a parasol between the two holes. If these conditions are met, then taking the earth of one hole and putting it into the other hole will actually cause the ants in the hole to strangle each other, and he'll be relieved from the issue with the ants. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misteho ilon kedarkoi, mistei alovon shaloi kedarkoi. We saw that the Tanakhama said that you can get rid of and can trap and get rid of the Ishreis and the Achborim from both a steho ilon and a stei alovon, and you can do a kedarkoi in your regular way on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. The Chachomim Oimrim, and in the version of the Gemara that we have here, it's not the Chachomim, it's actually Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that there was a version like that in the Mishnah that didn't say V'chachomim oimrim, rather Rabbi Yehuda oimer, that it depends what type of field. If it's a stei or ilon where there's trees, then you can get rid of it kedarkei in a regular and usual manner because the damage is much greater. However, in a stei alovon where the damage is less, then it's shaloi kedarkei, you're only allowed to get rid of these creatures in an unusual manner. Tanu Rabbonon. So we saw in a braisa, keitzad kedarkei. How do you get rid of these creatures in a regular fashion? Says the Braisa, Choyfer Gumo, he digs a hole in the ground, V'toylebo Mitzuda, and he hangs a trap in it. And the holes, because there's a hole in the ground, the creatures are going to come out through these holes, and then they're going to go into the trap, and you'll have caught these animals. Keitzad Shaloi Kedarkoi, how do you trap these animals in an unusual way? Says the Braisa, Noyitz Shpud, he sticks a spit into the ground, umake bekardoim, and he hits it with a hammer, umarade, and he hoadomo, and he flattens the earth, mitachteo, from under these animals, and either then he's going to end up crushing the animals, or will end up, the earth will fall on the animals, whatever it will be. If you flatten the earth where these animals are inside, then you will manage to dispose of these animals. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elozo Oimer. We saw in the Braisa that Reb Shimon ben Elozo holds that Kesha Omru Mistei Lovon Shaloi Kedarkoi, that when it's said in our Mishnah, or in the Braisa, that from a Stei Lovon, Rabbi Yehuda says that because it's just a field of grains, not of trees, then you're allowed to get rid of these creatures, Shaloi Kedarkoi, in an unusual way. Lo Omru Elo Bistei Lovon Asmucho Leir. That's only true if this field is just next to a city. Avol b'stei lovon, but if there's this type of grain field, which is asmucho l'stei ha'ilon, which is neighboring a field where there's trees, afilu kedarkoi, then you can get rid of it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in a regular fashion. Shemo yeitzu m'stei ha'lovon v'yachrivu es ha'ilonis, because these creatures, the ishais and the achborim, may go out of the stei ha'lovon, where they're indeed causing a little bit less damage, and enter the field, the stei ha'ilon, where they will cause a lot of damage, and therefore you can get rid of it in a usual manner. Continues the Gemara, this takes us back to the next halacha in the Mishnah, Umakrin es apiritza b'moyed, you're allowed to, in an unusual manner, you're allowed to close up a block in the a piritza. You're allowed to block up a breach in a wall, and we're about to see that it's the wall of a gina, and it's not referring to the wall of a chotzer. Says the Gemara, Keitzad makrin, how are you allowed to close up this breach, assuming that it has to be done in an unusual way? Rav Yosef Oimer, Behutza v'dafna, he says that Rav Yosef says you're only allowed to use different types of branches from a palm tree, from other trees, but you can only use these branches to fix the hole. But Masnitaton, in a braisa, we learnt that Tsar B'Tsror, he can pile up some stones where the wall is breached, ve'en etach betit, but he's not allowed to smear it with plaster. Omer of Chizda, says of Chizda, lo yishanu, this that we said, that you're allowed to close the wall, and you have to do it with a shinui, in an unusual way, he's not allowed to build that wall and fix that wall in a usual fashion, is only talking about elo koisel hagino, only if it's the wall going round a garden, where even if it's breached, even if people are going to come into that field, the damages will not be very great. Aval koisel hachotzer, but in the case that it's a regular courtyard that you have, which is not a field, there, if people come in, they can steal your property, and the damages are much more than boine kedarkoi. He's allowed to even build a wall from scratch, and he's allowed to build it in a regular way, because a wall there is extremely necessary, and if you don't have the wall, it can cause a lot of damage, and therefore you're allowed to build such a wall. Says the Gemara, Leima Masayele, it could be that we can bring proof from the following braisa to Rav Chisda that in a wall of a chotzer, you're actually allowed to build it kedarkoi. Because it says in the braisa, Koisel hagoichel rushus harabim, a wall that's leaning over the rushus harabim, soiser uboina, you're allowed to break down the wall and rebuild it kedarkoi in a regular fashion, mipnei hasakana, because it's dangerous. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do this. The wall is leaning, it's a danger. You're allowed to demolish it and rebuild it kedarkoi. So is this proof to Rav Chisda that on Chol HaMoed, when you're allowed to build a wall, assuming it's the wall of a chotzer, that you're allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed kedarkoi? Says the Gemara, no, it's no proof. Hosam kedektoni taima mishum asakono. Over there, the problem is that, or it says explicitly that you're only allowed to build it kedarkoi because of the sakona, because it was a danger. Even though the danger, we'll soon see this in the Gemara later, but even though in the danger only required that you demolish the wall, once the wall is demolished, it's not going to fall on anyone. But if you're not going to be allowed to rebuild the wall, you'll refrain from demolishing it. And therefore we say, since it's a danger, and only because it's a danger, you're allowed to demolish it and rebuild it kedarkoi in a regular way. But in a case where it's not a danger, it's just a loss of money, as by us, we're talking about hefsed, we're talking about loss, we're not talking about danger, it could well be, not like Rav Chisda said, and even the Koisel Chotzer, you're not allowed to build kedarkoi on Chol HaMoed. So you don't have proof from that braisa. V'ikad Amra, there's a little bit of a different version. Toshima, we're actually going to ask a question on Rav Chisda. Koisel hagoichel roshos harabim soisa rabonina kedarkoi mipnei hasakana. The Gemara is bringing that same braisa we just saw, that a wall that is leaning and threatening a rushus harabim, a public place, you're allowed to demolish it and rebuild it because it's dangerous. So the Gemara says, mipnei hasakana in, only because it's a danger, shaloi mipnei hasakana, but when there's no issue of a danger, loi, you're not allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed kedarkoi, and that's against what Rav Chisda said, that by Koisel Chotzer you're allowed to build it kedarkoi. Leima tehevet yufta de Rav Chisda, maybe we can refute Rav Chisda from this braisa. Says the Gemara, no. Omer lachor Rav Chisda, hasam. The Rav Chisda says that it's true that over there it's because it's a danger. And there's something you're allowed to do there only because it's a danger. And you wouldn't be allowed to do when it's just a regular hefsed. But there's still no proof that you're not allowed to build it. Because over there we're allowing you to do two things. Hasam, over there because it's a danger, soiser uboine, we let you demolish the wall and to rebuild it. Hocha, however, here where it's not a danger, it's just a hefsud, boina, you're allowed to rebuild it, kedarkoi, says of Chisda, v'loi soiser, but you're not allowed to demolish it. So he says that it's true that, and the braisa says that it's only because it's sakana, but it's not a contradiction to what I said. There's no proof from there either, but there's no contradiction to what I said, because I'm only talking about doing one activity of building, not two activities that includes demolishing and building. Says the Gemara, Hasam over there in that braisa, where we're talking about a wall that's a danger, sakona, nami lister v'loy livni. Why indeed are you allowed to rebuild it on Chol HaMoed? It should be sufficient because of the danger just to remove and demolish the wall so it will no longer threaten anybody. Why should you be allowed to rebuild it? Says the Gemara, because imkein mimna v'loy soiser. Because it could be, if you're not going to be allowed to rebuild it, you're going to refrain from demolishing it, and then you will not remove the danger. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, Masnisen Nami Daika. If you look well into our Mishnah itself, you'll see that there seems to be a proof to Rav Chisda that the Mishnah is only talking about the chotzer, the wall of a gina, and not the wall of a chotzer. Diktoni, because we learned in the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah, Ubashvias, that in Shemitah, Boine Kedarkoi, he's allowed to build this wall Kedarkoi. It's the last words of the Mishnah, that to build a wall in a regular fashion, you're allowed to do that in Shemitah. So the question is, Dehecha, what wall are we talking about? Ilei Medechotza, are we talking about the wall of a regular Chotza? That can't be Tzricha LeMeimed. We need the Mishnah to tell us that. Why should Shemitah stop me building a wall around my courtyard? Shemitah's only got halachas regarding fields, not regarding what I'm allowed to build in my courtyard. Elolav Degino, it must be we're talking about a type of enclosure, a type of wall of a gino. And Va'afel Gav de Merze, commander Ovid Netirusa. Even though it looks like during Shemitah that you are protecting and guarding the fruits, Netirusa Lepeira, you're protecting the fruits and not allowing the public to take it, something which is Osir on Shemitah. Shema Mino. So we see that this Mishnah must be talking about the Chkaisel of a Gino. And even though it looks like you're protecting the fruits, you're allowed to put such a wall up because there's a certain level of protection you're allowed to give to the field that shouldn't get ruined from people you're allowed to put such a wall up. And we see the Mishnah is talking about the wall of a gina, not the wall of a chotzer, which is exactly what Rav Chisda said, that when it said before that you're allowed to build a wall, shaloi kedarkoi, That's only talking about a koisel of a gino and not the koisel of a chotzer. Continues the next Mishnah. And the next Mishnah is going to take us into the halachas of tzoras. And let's just give a short introduction. It will help us through the sugya. Now the halachas of metzora, there's a parasha in the Torah that discusses tzoras. And there's a mesechta Mishnayos. Megoyim, and let's just make a very general overview. And even though there is tzoras also on a person's body, tzoras is a type of a boil, a type of a growth, or a discoloring, a white patch. There's four different shades of white, but the white patch called tzoras. And the halachas of tzoras apply to the person's body, they apply to his garments, and they apply to a building, to his home. Let's discuss a person getting tzoras on his body. So there's five stages that we have to always know what stage we're talking about, and because the halachas very differ. The first point is tohir. The person is tohir. Everything is fine, nothing wrong with him, no discoloring, no tzoras. And then there's another stage. When a person sees discoloring, he's got to call the Kohen. And only a Kohen can determine whether it's Tomei, whether he's a Matzaira or Toir. So then he's got to call the Kohen. The Kohen will then say, either you're Toir, this is not Tzoras, or he'll say, this doesn't look good. And then he needs to, for a week, he needs to go into Hezger, which there are certain halachas of Hezger, which that is a week of, he's got to wait. He's got to wait for where he's in a secluded, confined place, but he's not yet muchlot. He's not yet a completely confirmed metzera. At the end of the week, one of three things could have happened. Either it got better, and then he's tohir, or it got worse, and then he becomes a muchlot, a confirmed metzera, or no change, and then there's a second week of hezger. That's called the Hezger Sheni, the second week. At the end of that second week, again, the Kohen comes, and then the Kohen decides either he's Tohir, or he's Muchlot, or he becomes a confirmed Metzera. Once a person is a confirmed Metzera, he's got to wait till he heals, and once he heals, the Kohen comes, and if the Kohen says, yes, you're no longer a Metzera, then we have a week of counting, where the person, that's called the Yemei Sfira, where a person has to count 7 days before he can
finish his Torah, his purification, and go back to normal. Now, the halachas of Hezger, both the first Hezger and the second Hezger, is that he's allowed to stay in the city. He's still got the company of people, but he's not allowed to have any marital relations with his wife. When it comes to Mukhlat, he's allowed to have relations with his wife, but he has to be outside the city. He loses the company of the town, the company of the people. In the Yemei Toihar, the 7 days called Sfira, the seven Yemei Sfira, there everybody agrees that he's not allowed to have marital relations with his wife. That seems to be how Rashi understood these halachas. Now there's another issue here, and that is that there's a certain time, for example, on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov there's a mitzvah of v'somachto b'chagecho, you have to be happy. Now what happens if in the middle of Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, a person says, oops, I'm seeing a stain, a boil, maybe this is tzaras. Then because it says v'somachto b'chagecho, you have to be happy on Yom Tov, is this person supposed to or allowed to call the Kohen to tell him, what's my status? Am I Mitzera? Am I not a Mitzera? Now the answer is, the one answer that everyone agrees to, that since it says, V'samachto b'chagecho, you're not allowed to cause extra aggravation and pain to this person. So, it's like this. Rav Meir holds that a Kohen can come, and he can say, I see he's Tohir. You're Tohir. He's very happy, no issues. Now what happens if he's not Tohir? What happens if the other verdict the Kohen would give would be a verdict that is not so pleasant for this person? It's actually going to cause him anguish and pain and infringe on the Samachta B'chagecha. Says Reb Meir, if that's the case, the Kohen just shouldn't say anything. Status quo, nothing will change. A Kohen is allowed to just say nothing. That's what Reb Meir holds. Reb Yossi says no. Reb Yossi says a Kohen is not allowed to say nothing. He's allowed to not go and look. But if he goes to look, he has to say whatever the halach is. So Rav Yossi says that it depends. If there's a chance, if one of the options here is that this person is going to be in a worse off situation after the Kohen has come than before, then because of a Samachta B'chagecha, the Kohen shouldn't go at all. He shouldn't go to this person at all, and that way he will not infringe on this person's Simchas Yom Tov. That's a basic overview. Just, we'll introduce one last topic, and that is that there's going to be a machlekas here, and we're going to learn the Gemara like the Ritva does, where there's a three-way machlekas here, as to what does a person prefer more? What's more of a relief for him? To have company of the people of the town, or to be able to have relations with his wife? That is going to be a discussion. We're going to see that, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi says some people prefer to have the company of their wives. Other people prefer to have the company of the townspeople. And the difference to that will be, for example, if a person is in the second week of Hezger, where in the second week of Hezger, he's not out of the city, but he's not allowed to have relations with his wife. So over there, if the Kohen comes, there's only two options, either to make him Tohir or to make him a confirmed Mitzera, a Mukhlot, where he's going to get back his wife, but he's going to lose the people. So is that something which is going to destroy his Simchas Yom Tov or not? Well, Rav Yossi says it might, because it could be this is the type of person who needs the people more than his wife. And therefore making him a mukhlot and sending him out of the town is going to be bad for him. Then he wouldn't be able to go. So Rav Yossi says, but on the other hand, when Rav Yossi says there's also a chance that a person prefers to have his wife than to have the people, and in which that will have a halachic ramification if he is already a confirmed mukhlot, a confirmed mitzera, and now if the Kohen comes and says that you're no longer a mitzera, you can start counting, then once he starts counting, he's going to then become the osa to his wife. And then maybe this person prefers to have his wife than to have the people. And therefore, he will not, as a mukhlot, the Kohen won't be able to come. So Rabbi Yossi is like, in every particular case, he says maybe this person will prefer his wife, maybe he'll prefer the public, and therefore in either case, if he's going to either lose the public or lose his wife, then you're not allowed to go to this person at all on Chol HaMoed. That's Rabbi Yossi. We're going to see that according to Rabbi Meir, he definitely holds that people prefer to have people, to have the public, than to have their wives. And therefore, we're going to soon see that according to Rabbi Meir, there will be halachic ramifications to that. For example, if he was a mukhlot, according to Rabbi Meir, we'll have no problem saying the kohen can come, because if the kohen says that he's still a mukhlot, he's still tomei, nothing's changed. Status quo. If he says that he can now start counting, starting to count means I can come back in. If I can come back in, then I have people. And I prefer to have people than to have my wife, even though he's not going to have relations with his wife for that week. So Kontra May will have no problem with that. And even the Hezger Sheni, the Kohen is allowed to come, even though this person who needs people, and if after Hezger Sheni the Kohen says you're now Mukhlot, he's going to lose people, but let's remember of Meir holds that the Kohen is allowed to remain silent. So if the end of the Hezger Sheni, the Kohen can come. If the person is tired, he can say you're tired, and you're fine. If he's Tomei, he's now become Mukhlot, he doesn't need to say anything. Status quo, you'll stay in the situation of Hezger until after Yom Tov. That's Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. We're going to see that Rebbe is a sort of in the middle. He's going to hold, number one, Rebbe's going to hold of Rav Yossi, that says a Kohen can't be quiet. Either you go and you say the whole truth, or you don't go. That's one thing, that Rebbe holds like Rav Yossi. However, Rebbe argues with Rav Yossi, because Rebbe says that a person always prefers the company of his wife than the company of people. But we're going to see there's going to be a machlokes what Rebbe holds, because there's one version of Rebbe that says the opposite, that Rebbe says a person always prefers the company of people, which is that what Rav Meir holds, and not the company of his wife. However, he's still going to hold like Rabbi Yossi that if the Kohen goes, you have to say the entire psak. And we'll soon see in the Gemara the details of this. So that is a basic outline of the sugya. Let's see the Gemara inside. Let's learn the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Rav Meir holds, Royin es hanagoyim b'tchilo lahokil. Well, the word b'tchilo is a bit of a discussion here, if it's supposed to be there or not. The Rishonim discussed that. But Rav Meir says you're allowed to see nagoyim. Nagoyim are these stains, these patches. A kohen is allowed to see them lahokil, even though he's only going to say the ruling if it's a lenient one. And if it's a stringent ruling, then he's just not going to say anything. And the status quo will apply. And says, according to Rav Meir, that's okay. And we're talking about Chol HaMoed, and we have to make sure not to say a stringent ruling in order not to destroy the mitzvah of the Samachta B'Chagecha of this person. Avloi Lachmir, you're allowed to just not say the stringent ruling in the event that there would be one. The Chachomim argue with Rav Meir, and they say, Loi Lahokel V'Loi Lachmir. He says, no, don't go at all. Don't go, this is that we're going to soon see as Rav Yossi. He's going to say that if you go, then you have to say the whole psak. You have to say either way, if it's letom, it's learned from apostle, letoyer or letomi. You have to say the whole thing. In order not to hurt this person, simchas yom tov, you don't go bichlal. Says the Gemara, Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Reb Meir Oymer, and this is the same Reb Meir we saw in our Mishnah, Royin es hanagoyim lehokil, avaloi lehachmir. The Kohen is allowed to go and give a lenient ruling in the event that the person is not Matzaira and is allowed to be quiet and not say the stringent ruling. He says that no, the Kohen shouldn't go at all. Because if you're going to involve yourself in going to see the Tzaras, if you're going to see it with the intentions of being lenient in the event that the ruling is lenient, you'll have to also be involved with a more stringent ruling and give a stringent ruling in the event that is Tomei. And since we don't want to do that on Yom Tov, therefore you shouldn't go at all. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe says, and Rebbe holds, I hold like Rebbe Yossi, that if you go, you have to say the whole ruling. But Nirin Divrei Rebbe Meir B'Muzgar. In the case where this person is a Muzgar, which means he's now in the Hezger Sheni, then even though then Rebbe holds that in that case, even though Rebbe Yossi says that you shouldn't go to the Kohen should not come at all, we'll soon see why, because according to Rebbe Yossi, the reason the Kohen shouldn't come is because if he's at the end of the Hezger Sheni, then what's the Kohen going to come? He's going to come and either say he's Toyer, that would be fine, or say that he's Muchlat. Now, if he's Muchlat, then he's going to become Osir to the public. He's going to have to leave the public. And we said before, Rebbe Yossi holds, maybe this person prefers the public than his wife, and therefore you're going to destroy his Simchas Yom Tov by sending him away from the public. So Rebbe Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to, the Kohen shouldn't go at all at the end of the Hezger. And here Rebbe says, no. He says that I agree with Rebbe Yossi that if you come, you have to say the whole ruling. But I disagree with Rebbe Yossi that this person may prefer the public, because I, Rebbe Yossi, hold that he's definitely going to prefer his wife's company. And once he's a muchlot, once he's a confirmed metzora, he can have relations with his wife. So whichever way you hold it, says Rebbe, I think, like Rebbe Meir said, that you're allowed to, the Kohen should go. Now, the reason Rebbe Meir said the Kohen should go is because he can give just a lenient ruling. He doesn't have to give a stringent ruling, even if there is one. And Rebbe doesn't hold of that, as Rebbe Yossi doesn't hold of that. But Rebbe holds that in this case, that whichever way you hold it, you will not be destroying his Simchas Yom Tov. Because if you say he's Toyer, he'll be happy. If you say that he's now coming from a confined Metzayer to a confirmed Metzayer, he's also going to be happy. It's true that he's got a more stringent level of Tumah, and he has to leave the city and lose the company of the people. But Rebbe Yossi holds that he's waiting for the company of his wife even more. So it will be a Simchas Yom Tov for him. And therefore, Nirin Divir Reb Meir B'Muzgar, but Divir Reb Yossi B'Muchlot. However, if he's now already a confirmed Metzayra, then I agree with what Rebbe Yossi says, that this person shouldn't, the Kohen shouldn't go at all, because if the Kohen comes, he might say you're now Toyer and you can start counting. And if you start counting, he's going to be also to his wife. And therefore, if he's a Muchlot, he should not go at all. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Omar Rava. Rava explained as follows. The Toher, if the person, and we remember before, we said that there's five stages. Toher, Hezger Rishon, Hezger Sheni, Muchlot, and Yemei Sfira. So Rava is saying like this. B'Toher, in the event that we're holding that he is Toher, and he's now got a suspicion that he may be a Metzaira, Kulei Almalei Pligi Delei Chozilei. Everybody agrees that that the Kohen should not go on Chol HaMoed to see this Tzoras. Why? Because Rav Meir holds that you're, in any case, only allowed to give a lenient ruling. This person is Toher now. So the only thing you'll be able to say is Toher, if he's Toher. I don't need a Kohen for that. He is Toher. Because anything else you're going to say would be that you have to go into confinement. Well, that's, according to Rav Meir, the Kohen wouldn't be allowed to say that because of Simchas Yom Tov. So there's no point in the Kohen going. According to Rav Yossi says that the Kohen would have to say the whole truth. And if he says the whole truth, he might say he's Tomei. And if he says he's Tomei, he's going to destroy Simchas Yom Tov. See, also, he can't go at all. So whichever way you hold it, if the person was Toher, you don't go to the Kohen doesn't go to see the Tzoras on Chol HaMoed. Behezger Rishon, and we're going to read the Gemara with the version we have in the Gemara. There's a big discussion here, but we're going to just understand the Gemara as we have it. Behezger Rishon, in the first Hezger, Dekule El Maloi Pligi, everybody agrees, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, Dechozile, that the Kohen can go and see the Tzoras. According to Rav Meir, he can go, because he's already now in Hezger Rishon. So what are the two options? Either you're Toyer, or you have to have another Hezger. So according to Rav Meir, if he has another Hezger, you've lost nothing, because he hasn't made anything worse. He was in Hezger anyway. If he's Toyer, you've helped him, so you can go. Now the Rishonim ask, Tosfos, the Ritva, that at the end of the Hezger Rishon, it could be that he'll say that not Hezger Sheni, he might say Muchlot. He might say straight away that you've become a Muchlot. And therefore, why would Rebbe Yossi say, according to Rav Meir, he can come in and just say nothing? If he's Toyer, he's Toyer. If it's Hezger Sheni, he's nothing's worse. And if it's Muchlot, you just won't say anything. But according to Rebbe Yossi, who says that you have to say the whole truth, how can you say that L'kul alma lo'i pligi d'chozilei, there's the option of maybe he'll be a Muchlot, and then according to Rebbe Yossi, going from Hezger to Muchlot is a problem, as we said before, because maybe he prefers to have the people than to have his wife. And he's going to lose the people if he becomes a mukhlat. So the Rishonim ask that, and the Rishonim say that in this case, Rabbi Yossi will agree that you're allowed to stay quiet. Only in a case where there's two options, Tahir or Tomei Mukhlat, if those are the two options, then you have to say that you have to say the whole truth. However, in the case where you've got three options, there's an option of status quo of not Tahir and not Tomei. For example, you're in Hezger, and you're in the Hezger Rishon, in the first week of Hezger, and it might just be a second Hezger, then you don't have the Pasuk that requires you, that you have to say anything, and you're not allowed to be silent. In this case, Rabbi Yossi will agree you could be silent, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Yossi, the Kohen can go. Keep Ligi. When are they arguing? When is there machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi? That's only Behezger Sheni. That if it's the second Hezger, and now if the Kohen comes and it's Chol HaMoed, at the end of the second week of Hezger, and now if the Kohen comes, either he's going to say that you're Tahir, or he's going to say that you're Mukhlot, you're becoming confirmed Metzaira. So Rav Meir says that the Kohen's allowed to go, because the Kohen is allowed to stay silent. Marasov, Rav Meir holds the Kohen Talia Milsa, the Kohen is allowed to stay silent, and therefore, if it's Tahir, he Tahir, Omar Le Tahir, I'll tell him Tahir. And if he's Tommy, Shosik will just be quiet. Umarasova, and Rabbi Yossi holds, Letaroi oy letamiksiv. This is the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi learns, that it says in the pasuk, Letaroi oy letamo. You have to say either Tahir or Tommy in the event that those are the only two options, like in the case at the end of the Hezger Sheni. So Rabbi Yossi says, if we're going to let the Kohen go, we might have to tell him he's a Mukhlot. If he's a Mukhlot, we might be hurting a Simchas Yom Tov because he's going to lose the company of the people of the city. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, you shouldn't go at all. Now, the truth is that they're also arguing not only by Hezger Sheni, they're also arguing by Mukhlot, when it's completely Mukhlot, and he's been totally Tomei, and he's been out of the city. He's had his wife, he hasn't had the people, and now is the Kohen now allowed to come to see if he's Tahir? There's also a Machlekes. Rav Meir says you're allowed to, because if he's Tahir, Rav Meir holds that a person prefers the company of people than the company of his wife, and therefore, even though he's going to then have a transition from Mukhlat to Yemei Sfira, to the counting days, but the counting days, he'll be also to his wife, but no longer be in the state of also to around the people, and therefore, you will not be hurting his Simchas Yom Tov. So whichever way you hold it, according to Rav Meir, a Kohen can go to a Mukhlat. Rabbi Yossi says you can't go to a Mukhlot because maybe he's going to tell him that now you can start counting, you're going to be also to your wife. And Rabbi Yossi says we have to always be afraid that maybe this person wants and needs the company of his wife more than the company of the people, and therefore he'll be hurting the Simchas Yom Tov. So that is another case where there's a machloikas, not only by Hezger Sheni, but also by the Mukhlot. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, we saw before in the Braisa that Omar Rebbe said that Nirin Divri Reb Yossi b'Mukhlot, v'Divri Reb Meir b'Muzgar. It's from Rebbe's words that we see that Reb Meir and Reb Yossi were arguing not only by Muzgar Sheni, but also by Mukhlot, as I just explained. And Rebbe said that even though Rebbe holds, like Reb Yossi, that if the Kohen comes, he has to give a full verdict. However, he argues with Reb Yossi on some level. And he says that Nirin Divri Reb Yossi b'Mukhlot, I agree with Reb Yossi that the Kohen shouldn't go if he's in a Mukhlot, because I hold like Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbi, that this person needs his wife more than the people, and if you go when he's a Mukhlot, then you may be telling him he has to start counting and he'll be Osa to his wife. But if Rabbi Meir b'Muzgar, however, Rabbi says, I agree with Rabbi Meir that the Kohen can come in the case that he's in a Muzgar Sheni. Even though Rabbi Yossi says you shouldn't go, because Rabbi Yossi says that if you're going to tell this person he's now a Mukhlot, he might lose the company of the people, and even though he gets the company of his wife, but losing the company of the people will disturb his Simchas Yom Tov, Rabbi says no. Rabbi says that a person always prefers the company of his wife, and therefore, if he's a Hezger Sheni, you're allowed to go to him. And because even if you tell him he's a Mukhlot, then you haven't heard his Simchas Yom Tov, because he'll be getting back to being able to have relations with his wife. Asks the Gemara, well, Tanya Ibcha, we learned in a different brisa that the second brisa says that actually prefer Reb Yossi not by Muchlot, but prefer Reb Yossi by Muzgor. And by Muzgor, Rebbe says that the Kohen shouldn't go, and by Muchlot, he holds like Reb Meir that the Kohen should go. Answers the Gemara, Tanoi, it's actually Machlekes Tanoim, I live with the Rebbe as to what Rebbe holds. In this second brisa of Rebbe, Marasova, the second brisa says that Rebbe holds Tzavsa de Alma Odifle, that a person always prefers the company of people. And that's why when he's in Hezger, then Rebbe will say, don't go, because if he becomes Muchlot, he'll lose people. But if he's Muchlot, then you can go because he's going to prefer the people, and then you won't be destroying his Simchas Yom Tov. Now, and this is not completely like Reb Meir, because Reb Meir says that at the end of the Hezger Sheni, even though Reb Meir also says that a person prefers people than his wife, but nonetheless, he'll say that at the end of the Hezger Sheni, Reb Meir will say, the Kohen can go. Why? If you say these Tomei, he'll be Muchla to lose the company of people. The answer is because Reb Meir himself holds that you can just be quiet and just say either Toyer or say nothing. Rebbe doesn't hold of that. Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Yossi, that you can't say nothing. So you have to go. So if you go, you have to say something. And therefore, according to this opinion of Rebbe, by Muzgar, don't go. Because if you tell him he's Muchlot, he's going to lose the people, and that's not going to be good for him. But if he's Muchlot, you can go. Because if you tell him that he has to count, but it's true he's going to be also to his wife, but he's going to get the people back, it's not going to destroy his Simchas Yom Tov. Or Marasova, the original version of Rebbe we saw, that says that by the Muzgar, the Kohen can go, and by the Muchlot, he can't go. He holds that Tzavsa the Ishti Hatifle, like we said before, according to Rebbe, he prefers the company of his wife than the company of people. And that's why at the end of the Hezger, he can go, because if he tells him Toyer, he's definitely happy. And if he tells him Muchlot, then he's happy because he's getting his wife back. And in the case of Muchlot, he shouldn't go, because if you tell him that you're Toyer and you have to start counting, in the week of counting, he's also to his wife, and therefore it will disturb his Simchas Yom Tov, so he shouldn't go on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, the Memra, from all this it seems, the Muchlot Mutar B'Tashmish Amita, that when a person is a confirmed Mutzaira, he's allowed to have relations with his wife. Says the Gemara, in, that's right, that's exactly what we're saying. Well, Tanya, and we learned this from a Braisa, because it says in the Braisa, V'chibes HaMetayres B'Godov, V'gilech Eskol Sa'ori, V'rochat V'mayim V'toyer, V'achar Yovel HaMachne V'yoshav Michutz Le'oholoi Shivas Yomi. So here there's a pasuk. The pasuk is actually talking about the Yemei Sfira, the 7 days of counting. And in these 7 days of counting, it says V'yoshav Michutz Le'oholoi, he has to be removed from his Oihel. Who's his Oihel? Shehei Osu B'Tashmish Amita. And he's not allowed to have relations with his wife. That's what oihel means. Ve'in ole elu ishtei, the word oihel, the literal translation is a tent, but it means being with his wife. Shenemer, as we see in another pasuk, leich emor lohem, shuvu lochem lo'oleichem. That after Matan Torah, the people were told, go back to your oihel, to your tents. And what it actually meant was, you can have relations with your wife. So the pasuk seems to be saying here, that you're allowed to, that in the 7 days of counting, even though you're allowed back to the people, but you're now also to your wife. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shivas Yomim Shimas Yisburuloi, and Rashi says that even though these are words in Yecheskel, and the Gemara later on in the Masechta is going to learn from here different halachas with Matzaira, but Rashi says that the Gemara didn't actually mean to quote this pasuk, and the Gemara was just referring back to the pasuk we just mentioned, that the Metzaira, in the 7 days of counting, is also to be with his wife. And Rabbi Yehuda, according to version of Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yemei Sfirai, only during the week of counting, the Metzaira is not allowed to be with his wife. V'lo Yemei Chilutai, but the days before that, when he was a confirmed Metzaira, he's mutter to be with his wife. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Zayin Yemei Sfirai, he says, if the 7 days when you're of counting, you're allowed back to the people, you're not allowed to be with your wife, Then it goes without saying that in Yimei Chilutai, that you're not allowed to be in the town, that you're not allowed to be with your wife. So we have here Machlekes regarding the days of the Mukhlot days. Is he allowed to be with his wife or not? It's Machlekes Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda says no. Let's soon see, because we're talking about Rebbe's opinion, and let's see. V'omer Rebchia. Rebchia says, Danti lifnei Rebbe. I reasoned with Rebbe. I asked Rebbe as follows. Imadatenu Rabbeinu, you Rebbe taught us that Yosam, the son of Uziyo, lo'hoyo lo'ilu Uziyo, he was conceived when from his father Uziyo, when Elobi Mechilutai, in a time when Uziyo was actually a confirmed Metzera. So you see that if Yosam was conceived then it must be that marital relations is allowed in Yimei Mukhlot. Omar Loi. So Rebbe answered back to Reb Chia, Af Ani Kachomarati. That's exactly what I hold. I hold that a Mukhlot is allowed to have relations with his wife. So when we said at the beginning, the memory of the Mukhlot, Mutta B'tash Mishamita, the answer is yes, you're allowed to. As we can see here, Rebbe holds that way. The Gemara is now asking, B'maikum Ifligi, what's actually the point of the Machlekes, on what Makudah are they arguing, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa we just saw, as to whether it's only Osa to be with one's wife during the Yimei Sfira, not during the Yimei of Mukhlot, or not? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds, Goli Rachmoni Yimei Sfira, Vekolchkin Bimei Chinute, that's the Kal V'chaimah we saw before, that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds, that the Torah told us that in the 7 days of counting, you can't be with your wife. But we understand it's a kolchkin, it's a kal v'chomer. It goes without saying that in the days of Mukhlot, which is a much more severe stage of Tumah, you're not even allowed into the town. And that over there also, a person is not allowed to be with his wife. Umar Sovar, however, Yehuda holds, no. Maida goli, goli. Whatever the Torah revealed to us, it revealed to us. And the Torah only told us that in the 7 days of counting, you can't be with your wife. Umayda loy goli, loy goli. But regarding the days of Mukhlot, which the Torah didn't tell us that he's not allowed to be with his wife, he is allowed to be with his wife. Continues the Gemara. The Memra, from whichever way you hold this sugya, Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, we see clearly that the status of this person, whether he's Tohir, whether he's a Metzera Muzgar or Mukhlot, is dependent on the words of the Kohen. It doesn't depend on the stain in and of itself. It needs the Kohen to come to see it and to say, to give the halachic ruling. The memra de Bekoyin Talia Milsa. That we had the machlekas before, is the Kohen allowed to be quiet or not? But either way, it's the words of the Kohen that determine his status. Says the Gemara in, yes, you're right. Well, Tanya, and we saw this in a Braisa. It says in a Braisa, Uveyoim hei ro'oyus boi, bos orchai, yitma. What does it mean? That on the day where the Kohen will see Bos or Chai, which is one of the simonim of Tumah, then this person will be Tomei. So if we see from the words, Ubayoim Hei Ro'is, on the day that he will see, that Yesh Yoim Shatarayaboy, there are days that the Kohen will come, and there's days that the Kohen won't come. For example, on Chol HaMoed, in some cases the Kohen won't come, because the halachic status is dependent on the Kohen. And since it's dependent on him, there's days that we tell the Kohen go, and there's days that the Kohen will not go. Mikan Omu, and from here we determine that, for example, a Chosn, in the week of Sheva Brachos, Noilad Boy Nega, suddenly he has a Nega, he has this, something that might be Taras, Noistin Noizayin Yimei Amishte, we give him 7 days of his Sheva Brachos, and the Kohen doesn't go. Loi, Ulebeisai Uluksusai. Irrespective of whether we're discussing Taras on his flesh, Taras on his home, or Taras on his garments, the Kohen doesn't go. V'chein b'regel, like we saw till now in Chol HaMoed, Noisim lo yishivas yimei haregel. If he's Tohir, the Kohen's not going to go. He's not going to go because it's dependent on the Kohen, and we're allowed to tell the Kohen, don't go, because it's now Chol HaMoed, and he's got to be happy. Divi Rebbe Yehuda, that was the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, I agree with you that it's dependent on the Kohen. And I agree with you that not always the Kohen has to go. However, Ein Tzorich, I don't need that Pasuk of Ubayoim Heroyuzboy. Because I've got Hareo Oimer, I've got a different Pasuk. The Pasuk says, But Tzivua HaKohen, the Kohen will command Upinu Es Habayis before the Kohen says it's Tomei. Because if a Kohen says, for example, we're talking now about Tzoras on the house, which is a big chiddush, because normally homes can't become Tomei. Things in a home can become Tomei, but a home itself is attached to the ground. There's no cannot become Tomei. The one exception to that is Tzoras. But so the Kohen sees Tzoras on the wall of this home, and he knows if I'm going to say this is Tomei, everything in the home is going to become Tomei. So the Kohen says, Upinu Es Habayis, remove anything that needs to stay Toyer, all the utensils, remove everything from the house. But Terem Yovei HaKohen, Lirois Es HaNega, before the Kohen comes to actually see the Nega. V'lo Yitmo Kol HaShem HaBayis, in order that everything in the house, the contents of the house, should not become Tomei. V'achar Kohen Yovei HaKohen, Lirois Es HaBayis, and only then the Kohen will come and will see the Nega and will give his ruling. So Rebbe says, I've got this pasuk. Utziva akoyin upinu es habayis. Im mamtinim loy, medavar oshus. If over there, we actually wait, we delay the kohen coming, just because we don't want things to become tomei. It's not even a mitzvah. It's just convenience. We don't want the things in the house to become tomei. V'dvar oshus, kol shkein dvar mitzvah. It goes without saying that even for a dvar mitzvah, for example, chol hamoed, where there's simchas yom tov, or Sheva Brochus, where he has to be happy, in all those cases, of course, that we'll delay the Kohen and tell the Kohen not to come. My binayu, what's the difference if you learn it from the Pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda says, from the Pasuk of Uvayoy Meiroi's boy, or whether you learn out from the Pasuk that Rebbe said from Vetziva HaKohen Upinu Es Habayis? Omar Abaye says that might not be a halachic difference, Mashmol Zereshinik binayu. There's only a difference of how you read the Pesukim. Rabbi Yehuda understood one pasuk, the words Uvayom Herois, and Rabbi saw it in the other pasuk. The Rava Omar, Rava argues with Abaye, and Rava says no. Dvar Haroshus Ikubinayu. There's a difference between the two, and that is regarding Dvar Haroshus, which goes as follows. Of course, when it comes to a house, it's explicit in the pasuk, even though it's a Dvar Haroshus, it's not a Dvar Mitzvah. But the pasuk says it's a Chiddush. In any case, the whole concept of tzoras on a house is a chiddush. We wait. When it comes to tzoras on a person, on the body, on the flesh of the kohen, on the flesh of this person, for example, then there's going to be a machlekas. Because if you learn out from Vetziva HaKohen Upinu Es Habayis, according to Rebbe, he actually learns out regular tzoras from tzoras of the bayis. And in the same way as tzoras on the home, we delay the kohen for Dvar Oshos. So too, Tzoras and the person, we delay it. We delay it even for a Dvar Oshos, and Kol Shekein, we delay it for a Dvar Mitzvah, for example, Chol HaMoed or a Chosen. That would be according to Rebbe. However, according to Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda doesn't learn it out from Upinu Es Habayis, which is a Dvar Oshos. He learns it out from Ubiyoyim Heirois Boy. Ubiyoyim Heirois Boy would only be telling us that for a Dvar Mitzvah, we can tell the Kohen, don't come. If it's Chol HaMoed or a Chosn, but for Dvar Oshos, that not. That means they both agree that by Tumah of the Bayis, that even of Dvar Oshos, we tell the Kohen to wait. The discussion is regarding the body of the person who has Tzoras, do we delay the Kohen coming for Dvar Oshos or not? And that depends. According to Rebbe, he says, yes, you learn it from Bayis. And Rebbe Yehuda says, no, you can't learn it from Bayis. We'll soon see why. Because Bayis has its own Chiddush, and therefore you can't learn it from there. So you can only learn from Ubiyoyim Heirois Boy. From Ubiyoyim Heirois Boy, you don't see that you wait, and you delay the Kohen even for Dvar Oshos, only for Dvar Mitzvah. Asks the Gemara of Rebbe Yehuda, Mehosam Loi Gomrinon. The reason Rebbe Yehuda doesn't want to learn, like Rebbe, doesn't want to learn it from Vetziva HaKohen Upinu Es Habayis, is the Chiddushu, because he learns that Tumas Batim is a tremendous Chiddush, because stones and woods attached to the ground, they're not kelim at all, never become tomei. And here regarding tzoras, it becomes tomei. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't learn out that this leniency, that we delay the kohen, even for dvar oshos, that we see explicitly by bias, maybe it doesn't apply to the tzoras on the guf. Rebbe says, no. I hold that, you're right, it's a chiddush. Tumas Batim is a Chiddush. But I hold, says Rebbe, that you can learn out from Tumas Batim to the Tumah of the Gufa Adam, onto his body, on his flesh. And therefore, Rebbe says that I learn out that to delay the Kohen even for Dvar Ashus, even on the flesh of a person, that I can learn out from the Pasuk of Tzivah Kohen Upinu'es Habayis. Nonetheless, Rebbe says, I also need the Pasuk that Rebbe Yehuda had of Ubiyoy Miroyisboy. Rebbe Omar, Itzrech, Dikos of Rachmon Ubiyoy Miroyisboy. Because if it would only say Ubiyoy Miroyisboy, Havamina, I may have thought, Lidvar Mitzvahin, Lidvar Ashus Loy. I may have thought that you only ever tell the Kohen to delay coming if it's a mitzvah, Chol HaMoed or Chosn, but not for Dvar Rishus. Kos HaRachmona V'tzivah HaKohen. That's why it says V'tzivah HaKohen, to say that there's a concept of delaying the Kohen even for Dvar Rishus. V'i Kos HaRachmona V'tzivah HaKohen. But if it would only say V'tzivah HaKohen, then Hava Mina, I may have thought, Hani In, Delav Tuma Degufe. I may have thought that only regarding Tuma on the Batim, we can delay it even for a Dvar Rishus. Aval Tuma Degufe. But I may have thought that if it's Tuma on his flesh, Eima Merze Chazile, I would have thought in that case, since it's a Chiddush, then you cannot learn out from V'tzivah HaKohen Upinu Es Habayis. And therefore, Tzricha, I need the Pasuk of Yom Hiroyis Boy to say that you can learn out from Upinu Es Habayis, that not only by Batim you can delay the Kohen coming even for Dvar Ashus, but even on the Gufoy. That means I need the Yom Hiroyis to allow me to learn from Batim to Gufoy. According to Rebbe Yehuda, you can't learn Gufoy from Batim at all. And indeed, that's why Rava said that according to Rebbe Yehuda, you don't delay for Dvar Ashus on Tumah of Gufoy. Rebbe says, no, between the two psukim, I can learn that even by Tumah, the Taras B'Gufoy, you can delay even for Dvar Ashus. And that means that even Rebbe needs Ubayoy Meherois Boy to tell us that for Dvar Mitzvah on Taras B'Gufoy, we delay the Kohen. Once we see that for Dvar Mitzvah, we delay the Kohen, on Tzuras B'Gufoy, then we can already say that if you can delay the Kohen, then we can now learn from the Tzivah Kohen Upinu Es Habayis that in the same way as by Tumas Batim we delay the Kohen even for Dvar Ashus, so too by Tumah B'Gufoy we can delay the Kohen even for Dvar Ashus. Continues the Gemara Omar Mar. And this is taking us back to what we saw in the Braisa that we learn out from the words Ubiyoy Meirois Boy. We just mentioned that Rabbi Huda learned from those words that there are some times where the Kohen comes, and sometimes the Kohen doesn't come. Omar Mar, yesh yoyim shataroyeboi, yesh yoyim shiataroyeboi. The question is, my mashma, how did you see it in the words ubiyoyim heroisboi? The Pasuk just says, ubiyoyim heroisboi, bosal chai yitzvah. On the day where the Kohen will see this bosal chai, this raw flesh, that then, which we're not discussing now, halachos of basar chai, but in that case, yitzmo will become tomei. So Omar Abaya says, in kei nichtav rachmona bayoyim, it would have sufficed to say, bayoyim heroyis by basar chai, yitzmo. My u bayoyim, what's the extra vav doing there? Shema minod, the extra vav is teaching us that yoyim shatoroye boy, yoyim shiatoroye boy, u bayoyim, when it's a day that you're going to see, that seems to tell us that there are days that you don't see. Rava, that's how Abaya understood it. Rava Omar, Rava says, Kula kro yaseiruhu. He says, I actually don't need the whole word, ubayoyim. Dimke nichtav rachmon, it would have been enough to say, ubahei rois, boy, bosor achai. When you observe in it, bosor achai, then yitzma, what's ubayoyim? Why do you have to mention the day at all? My ubayoyim. Shema minor, Rava says from here that the ubayoyim is telling us that there are days that you can see. Yesh yoyim shataroya boy. How's Abaya going to explain? Abaya says that I learned it from the extra vav. How's Abaya explaining the actual word bayoyim? Abaya says no. I need the word bayoyim to tell us bayoyim v'loy balayla, to say that the Kohen only goes to see the tzaras only during the day, not at night. So, okay. So Abaya learns from bayoyim that the Kohen only sees from the day. In the Vav, he says, to teach us that there are some days that the Kohen doesn't go. Rava says, from Ubayoyim, there are some days the Kohen doesn't go. So how's Rava going to learn that a Kohen can only go in the day, not in the night? So there are going to be two answers. The first one is, nafkele milochol mare eine koin. The pasuk says, "Vim poreach tifrach hatzaras boir v'chisus hatzaras is kol oira nega miroishiv adradlov lechol mare eine koin." So you see that it has to be visible to the koin. When is it visible to the koin? When there's daylight. When is there daylight? That's in the day, not in the night. So Rava learns out from there that the koin can only see tzaras in the day and not in the night. Abaya says that because now we have the question, according to Abaya that learns out from the word bayoin that the koin only sees the tzaras in the day, what's Abaya going to do with the words lechol mare eine koin? Abaya, who mi boile limute sumo ba'achas me'enov. The pasuk is trying to tell us that it's got to be seen by the Einei HaKohen, both eyes of the Kohen. If a Kohen is blind in one eye, he can't see Tzaras. Says the Gemara, okay, Verava, but once Rava needs this pasuk to tell us that the Kohen can only see by day, not by night, how's Rava going to know that a Kohen blind in one eye cannot see? Verava nami uboi leilahi. Does Rava not need this pasuk to teach us that same halacha, that a Kohen with one eye cannot see Tzaras? Says the Gemara, enoch nam, you're right. Okay? Then the question comes back. If the words Lechol Mare in Kohen is to teach us that the Kohen has to see with both eyes, how does Rava know that Kohen can only see Tzaras in the day, not in the night? Says the Gemara, Nafka, they learned out from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Uvoa Shaloi Abayis, Vehigid Lakohen Neymur, Kanega Nire Li Babayis. The person comes to the Kohen and says that I see a stain in my helm. What does it mean, the Li? It's got to be seen by the naked eye and not seen with the aid of a candle, a lamp, or any other type of a fire or any other type of source of light. It's got to be, you can see it just in daylight. So from there you see, I can see it means it's day. So you see from there, Kohen can only come and see the Tzaras in the day. The Abaya. Abaya learnt out from the word biyoim that Kohen only comes by day. What's he going to do with the word li? So Abaya says, "Ime hosom, if we'd learn it out from there, have a minna, hanemili tumah dilav degufe." I may have thought that since that pasuk is only talking about tumas batim, the tzaras on the home, maybe only tzaras in the home is restricted to the daytime. Aval tumah degufe bat tzaras on the flesh of a person, afilu lo oirei nami, even if you couldn't see it with the natural light because it's night, but if there's a candle, it's good enough. Kumash malon, that's why Rava says, I need the words bayoim. So I need also Kanega Nirali Babais to tell us that you have to see it with your naked eye, but that's only for Tumas Batim. I need Bayoim, says Rava, to tell us that even by Tzaras on the flesh of a person, the Kohen can only come in the day and not in the night. And Imir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.